This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So today's hadith is the fourth hadith in the series of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And the hadith is a very short one today, but it is a hadith narrated by Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he is quoting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he says something about Ali radiallahu anhu. He says, وَالَّذِي فَلَقَ الْحَبَّ وَبَرَأَ النِّسْمَةِ إِنَّهُ لَعَهِدَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَيَّ أَلَّا يُحِبُّنِي إِلَّا مُؤْمِنْ وَلَا يُبْغِضُنِي إِلَّا مُنَافِقْ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said regarding Ali رضي الله عنه, by him who split the seed and created life, the unlettered Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, this is Ali saying, the unlettered Prophet عليه السلام gave me a promise that no one but a believer would love me, and none but a hypocrite would nurse a grudge against me. And this is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, this hadith, as I said earlier, that we will find in various places the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying something unique about different sahaba radiallahu anhum. As I've shared with you in the past few weeks, sometimes you will find something unique that he said about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that he did not say about others. Sometimes he would say something about Umar or Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhumah that he did not say about others. Likewise, this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is something that he said regarding Ali radiallahu anhu that he did not say about anyone else, which goes to show us how much the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he loved Ali radiallahu anhu. Now, of course, because of this hadith of the Prophet alayhi salam, there are many people who have created their own interpretation of this hadith, and they have, you know, deduced, I would say, different points from this, some that are in line with the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and there are some that are completely away, and they are, you know, I would say, deviant opinions that have come from this hadith of the Prophet alayhi salam. First of all, is that it is argued that this narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, perhaps he's saying this regarding Ali radiallahu anhu, which necessitates, some people have said that because of this hadith is telling us, and this hadith necessitates that the khilafah should have always gone to Ali radiallahu anhu. Whereas the reality is that that's not the truth. This kind of statement is a statement that the Prophet alaihi salam has said in another way, but he said the same thing regarding the Ansar. And there's a hadith in Bukhari that we find where he says the Prophet عليه السلام, لا يحبهم إلا مؤمن ولا يبغضهم إلا منافق فمن أحبهم أحبه الله ومن أبغضهم أبغضه الله. The Prophet عليه السلام said regarding the Ansar that only a believer loves them and only a hypocrite would hate them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves he who loves them, and Allah detests those who harbors ill feelings towards any of them. This is in terms of the Ansar. And this is found in Bukhari, Sahih Bukhari. So the point is that anyone who says that this hadith necessitates that the khilafah should have from day one gone to Ali radiallahu anhu, our answer to that is that there is another similar statement that the Prophet alayhi salam, he said regarding the Ansar, and that is not the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, regarding the virtues of Ali radiallahu anhu and what is mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salam, it is even mentioned by scholars such as, again, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, that if you compare all the ahadith of the Prophet alayhi salam regarding the virtues of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, and Ali radiallahu anhu, you will find that these three other sahaba radiallahu anhum, there are more ahadith regarding their virtues compared to Ali radiallahu anhu. This does not mean by any stretch that there was something against from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam towards Ali radiallahu anhu. But the point is that once again, there are people who use these kind of ahadith to say that Ali radiallahu anhu, he had a higher status than the others. And we say that this is not the truth. In fact, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentions on the authority of Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he says that we considered Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu as peerless. What does that mean? Meaning that there is no person amongst the Sahaba who could even come remotely close in terms of virtue and fada'il to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Then Umar radiallahu anhu came, and then Uthman radiallahu anhu came, and he says that there is no superiority after that in terms of, and we should not be differentiate between the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In fact, there is also a hadith that we find where Muhammad, this is the son of Ali radiallahu anhu, he even asked his own father one time that, "Oh my father, which of the people who are the messengers or who are the prophet, who are the sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are the best?" And he said that the best amongst them is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Once again, this statement of Ali radiallahu anhu is clear that there were others that he knew that they were better than him. And then he said, he was asked, "Who's next?" He said, "Umar radiallahu anhu." And then he said that the son of Ali radiallahu anhu says that, "I was afraid of asking who would come next, and he might mention Uthman radiallahu anhu. So I said, 'Oh my father, are you next?' And he says, 'No, I'm only a man from amongst the Muslims.'" I mean, look at the tawadu' and the humbleness of Ali radiallahu anhu. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, he also writes regarding Ali radiallahu anhu that the statement and the narrations regarding the virtues of Ali radiallahu anhu are more authentic than the others is than for others is a lie. Meaning that there are ahadith regarding Ali radiallahu anhu, but there are some people in the Muslim ummah or people who are viewed as Muslims who belong to different groups and different factions. He says that they have created lies regarding Ali radiallahu anhu, and they have attributed these lies to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, and Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi says that this is far from the truth. Now, as far as, once again, you find a hadith like this, someone may ask that, is it true that Ali, loving Ali radiallahu anhu, is part of iman and hating him is a sign of hypocrisy? And the ulama, they answer this and they say that this is not only related to Ali radiallahu anhu, this rule applies to all the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So that means that loving the sahaba radiallahu anhum and following their footsteps is a responsibility of a Muslim. And once again, then there's another question that usually comes up, and that is, then why would Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives such a statement regarding Ali radiallahu anhu? And the answer to that question is that perhaps the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was referring to the trials and the fitnas that will emerge during the time of Ali radiallahu anhu. And perhaps the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's trying to keep the record straight here, that at that time there are many people who will revolt against Ali radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is establishing a status for Ali radiallahu anhu. And subhanAllah, I don't want to go into the entire life of Ali radiallahu anhu, but you know that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu served, and he was the Khalifa, for approximately 2 to 2.5 years. After that came Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, and he lasted for 10 years. After that came Uthman ibn Affan, he lasted for 12 years. And then come Ali radiallahu anhu's time, and once again, especially after the death of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, Ali radiallahu anhu, he served as a Khalifa for only 5 years. But subhanAllah, if you compare the fitnas that he had to deal with in those 5 years, there is no other Khalifa who had to deal with that much fitna. I mean, right off the bat, when it comes to Ali radiallahu anhu, there was a call for the retribution of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. People like Talha radiallahu anhu, people like Az-Zubayr radiallahu anhu, people like our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, people like Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, they came forward and they said that we are demanding retribution for the death of and the assassination of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And that same year of coming into Khilafah, the very first civil war of Islam breaks out. I mean, think about what Ali radiallahu anhu is going through. And then, as if that was not enough, the next year, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he openly said that, "I have not given any kind of bay'ah to Ali radiallahu anhu, and I don't respect his Khilafah." That leads to the next battle, which is called the Battle of Siffin. And after that, there was even an arbitration that took place. And once again, I'm giving this all in a nutshell here. But there was an arbitration that took place. There was an agreement that took place. And that is where you have the emergence of the Khawarij also. That this is where they came out very openly in broad daylight. And they absolutely negated the decision that was made. And once again, later on, we find that Ali radiallahu anhu, he was killed. So the point is that in these 5 years of Ali radiallahu anhu, perhaps Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is trying to keep the record straight that anyone who goes against Ali radiallahu anhu at that time, you better understand that do not go against this man because he was very beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, as far as many of the other people have asked, that what about the Sahaba who engage in this civil war? Where do they stand in terms of even our own aqidah? What should we say and what do we believe? And the ulama are very straight about this. And they have said that when it comes to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and I know that some people may say, why and why and why? And yes, I understand the human mind is full of curiosities. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? But at the same time, when it comes to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, we leave their matter in a state that we don't question the Sahaba. We don't create judgments about the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. That is our aqidah, and this is what the ulama have said regarding this matter. Now, at the same time, as far as Ali radiallahu anhu is concerned, there are some very interesting things I do want to share with you regarding Ali radiallahu anhu. First of all is, from day one, Ali radiallahu anhu and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were in pretty much, especially for Ali radiallahu anhu, he was in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we all know, the Prophet alayhi wasallam, he began to stay with Abu Talib. And Abu Talib, out of all the children of Abdul Muttalib, he was the one who was in the state of most poverty. Now the ulama have debated and have argued, why is that the case, that he was perhaps the one who was stricken with poverty the most out of all his brothers? And the ulama of Sirah, they say that perhaps Abu Talib was the older one. Abdul Muttalib, when he passed away, Abu Talib had already moved on, he was already married, so perhaps his wealth went to the other kids and it did not go to Abu Talib. But nonetheless, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he grew up in a home that was not very well to do. But nonetheless, Abu Talib, he loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He loved the akhlaq of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even as a young man, he was always someone who cared about Abu Talib and his uncle. So when Ali radiallahu anhu was born, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there. Because if you look at simply the age, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he received wahi, Ali radiallahu anhu was 10 years old at that time. Okay, that means that Ali radiallahu anhu was born after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he got married to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. You understand? And that is why the age of Ali radiallahu anhu and Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, they're somewhat close for that reason. Now, as far as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stayed in the custody of Abu Talib from the age of 8, because that is when, age of 6 is when his mother passed away, age of 8 is when his grandfather passed away, Abdul Muttalib. So from that point onward, he was in the custody of his uncle Abu Talib. And at that point, till the age of 25 perhaps, he was with his uncle. When he got married, of course, he created his own arrangements of living. Nonetheless, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took care of Ali radiallahu anhu. When Ali radiallahu anhu was born, it was a lot of burden on the family of Abu Talib. And that is why many other brothers of Abu Talib, such as Ja'far, such as Aqil, and many others, they stepped up to help take care of the other children of Abu Talib. So that is why Ali radiallahu anhu, he came. He came and he stayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was always with the Prophet alaihi wasallam. In fact, in the very first years, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he received wahi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would go and privately pray salat. He would privately go and pray salat. And the only person to accompany him and all those was Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his initial days, this is when we're talking about, this was the private da'wah era. The private da'wah era. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went to invite the leaders of the Quraysh. He went to invite the leaders of the Quraysh. And it is mentioned that Ali radiallahu anhu was... he was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he told him that, "I want you to prepare some food. I'm going to invite some of the elite of the Quraysh." So he invited the elite of the Quraysh. And what so happened is that that day, Abu Jahl, he was there. He knew that something is up with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet alaihi wasallam has a certain agenda in mind, and that is why he has called us. So it is mentioned that that day, he took over and he never, I believe it was either Abu Jahl or Abu Lahab, I'm forgetting. But nonetheless, it was one of the two who basically, they overtook that entire conversation and they made it about themselves. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he created another session, another gathering. And this time, before anyone could take over the gathering or the conversation, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made his pitch about da'wah. Now, subhanAllah, I want you to think about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a moment. Imagine you have a 40, 41 year old man who has just you're talking about a man who had just received wahi. With him, he has a child, 10 years old child. We have seen 10-year-old children here in this masjid. Imagine if a 10-year-old children says to you as an adult that, "Don't worry, Baba or Uncle, I support you." Just imagine if they say, "I support you." We would say, "Yeah, jazakumullah khair. I understand your support, you know, but I need the support from others." But you see, subhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how much he would care for Ali radiallahu anh, that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made his da'wah pitch to them, and no one raised their hand, because for the Quraysh, this was totally new. You understand? This was a new concept to them altogether. At that time, Ali radiallahu anhu said that, "Ya Rasulullah, I stand with you." And the Prophet ﷺ did not say, he did not brush him off and say, "Yeah, I know you do too. Just don't worry about it, inshallah." You understand? He did not do that. He said, "Oh, alhamdulillah, you see, I have one supporter." The Prophet ﷺ, he magnified the fact that even a kid gave support to the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ, he magnified that. And then we also learned that even in the youth of Ali radiallahu anh, because once again, if you do the simple math, when the Prophet ﷺ made hijrah to Medina, how old was Ali radiallahu anh? If you do the simple math. 23. Okay? 23. A 23-year-old young man. Okay? In this day and age, 23-year-old men cannot even make their own decisions. "I need my parents and every single thing." They can't even make simple decisions in their life. You have a man who is supporting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in one of the greatest and most iconic events in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This young man, Ali radiallahu anhu, he slept in the bed of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam so that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he could go and he can leave Mecca in a peaceful manner. So the point is that you have this young man, and once again, if you do the simple math, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, how old was he? 33. I mean, think about how young he was when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he passed away. But yet how much he learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the lesson from this to be learned is that for our young brothers and sisters, do not ever feel that you cannot contribute to your deen. Do not ever feel that you cannot contribute to your deen. You can contribute immensely to the deen. Yes, you have to surround yourself by people who have confidence in you, who are willing to let you grow, take risks, and learn. But this is who you need to surround yourself with, and then inshallah you will grow. Also, we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially when it came to Ali radiallahu anh, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the cousin of Ali radiallahu anh, but at the same time he was also the father-in-law to Ali radiallahu anh. And one of the most beautiful things that we learn about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is a lesson for every single father-in-law. And let me say this again, a lesson for every single father-in-law. Because today we live in a world that if a father-in-law, if it's their son or their daughter who's in a dispute in their marriage, they don't think twice. They will always take their own son's side, or they will take their own daughter's side. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he encountered numerous situations where he had to step in, and never did he take Ali's side radiallahu anhu over his daughter, or neither did he take Fatima's side over Ali radiallahu anhu. But every time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stepped in, he always tried to be a peacemaker, and he always tried to resolve any kind of issues, especially if something existed between Ali and Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Such as, for example, once the Prophet sallallahu is mentioned that Ali radiallahu anh, he said to Fatima radiallahu anha that there has been a lot of prisoners that have come from war, prisoners of war, and we are looking for someone that perhaps who can come and help us with the house chores. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came and he taught the very well-known dua or adhkar to Ali radiallahu anh and his own daughter that instead of having a khadim, rather you recite subhanallah, alhamdulillah, and Allahu Akbar and 33 times. So this is something that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you see that he's stepping in and he's trying to help out, but he's also providing peace to the situation. Also, it is mentioned that one time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came to the house of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he asked that, where is Ali? And she said that me and Ali radiallahu anhu, we got into an argument. And she said that, he says, where is he? He says that he is in the masjid. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went to the masjid. Ali radiallahu anhu was lying down in the corner of the masjid. And once again, they never had carpet like we had. So Ali radiallahu anhu, he was lying in such a way that his front or his upper qamis must have come off. And there was dust and dirt on his back. And that is when the very well known, he referred to Ali radiallahu anhu as Abu Turab, you know, O father of soil and dirt. But nonetheless, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he referred to him and then he said, stand up and go home and let's try to reconcile the situation. So once again, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what kind of a father-in-law he was that today I wish, wallahi, if you know the conflicts that take place in families and how father-in-laws, how they behave, wallahi, is very shameful. Is wallahi very shameful. In fact, I mean, if you go to even see how open, I mean, think about this for a moment. Ali radiallahu anhu one time came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to talk about, think about this, to talk about an intimacy matter. An intimacy matter. Now you're talking about, you're talking to the man whom you have married his daughter. I mean, the level of awkwardness is at a high level. You would go to your father-in-law to talk about your own intimacy issues. It was not like the Prophet, I mean, Ali radiallahu anhu had intimacy issues. But there was a question that he had. There was something that was bothering him in terms of wudu and so forth. So who did he go to? His father-in-law. His own father-in-law, he went to him. And never did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam scold him. Never did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say anything derogatory to him. That why are you coming and asking me these kind of questions? I'm your father-in-law. No, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he loved Ali radiallahu anhu so much that even when any time Ali radiallahu anhu needed help, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there to help him out. Now, in a nutshell, I don't want to go into too many things regarding his khilafah and the issues that took place. But as I said last week, and I'm going to finish on this story inshallah. As I said last week, that Ali radiallahu anhu, one of the things that we learn about him is his level of understanding when it came to fiqh. His understanding of fiqh, his understanding of Islamic laws was amazing. And not only that, but questions that may come to him, you know, questions that were very confusing, Ali radiallahu anhu, the way he would resolve that was very, very, I mean, from a logical perspective, you could not even think about how much logic Ali radiallahu anhu was able to apply. I'm going to share with you a story, and I'm, as I said, I'm going to finish on this story, inshallah, but I want you to give me your input, okay? I want you to give me your input here. There was a case that came to Ali radiallahu anhu, and I want you to hear the details very carefully. A case came to Ali radiallahu anhu where there were two men. They were traveling together. They sat down to have food. Person A, okay, the first person, he has 5 pieces of bread. Okay, he has 5 pieces of bread. The second person has 3 pieces of bread. While they're about to sit down and eat, a third person comes and he says, if you don't mind, can I join? He says, yes, bismillah, come and join. So he ate. After he ate, he gave them 8 dirhams. Okay? He gave them 8 dirhams. He says that, I want you to divide it as you wish amongst yourself. Person A said, that because I had 5 pieces of bread, you had 3 pieces of bread, logically speaking, I should take 5 dirhams, you should take 3 dirhams. The man who had 3 pieces of bread, he said, no, we're going to divide this equally. You take 5, I take 5. So they brought this to Ali radiallahu anhu. And Ali radiallahu anhu, he provided his answer. Now, first of all, I'm going to ask you, how many of you have heard this story before? No one? You heard this, okay. Ali radiallahu anh, what do you think? Ali radiallahu anh, what kind of a verdict did he give? Once again, the first person says, let's do, he gave us 8, I take 5, you take 3. Simple as that. The second person says, nah, half, half. They came to Ali radiallahu anh, what do you think what kind of a verdict or what kind of fatwa did he give? Just raise your hand. If the first person gets half, which is 4, there's 8, right? If he gets 4, then the second person get 4? So 3 to the first person who had more bread, and 5 to the person who had less bread. Yes. Okay, so how much goes to the first person? How much goes to the second one? Okay. So how much do you think Ali radiallahu anhu said? How much does person A get? How much does person B get? Anyone else? Let's just say they all ate equally. Okay, I'll tell you. Ali radiallahu anhu said, the first person who had 5 pieces of bread, he gets 7. And the second person who pitched in 3 pieces of bread, he only gets 1. Now, how? Let me explain and understand this. There were 3 people, right? Okay, yes or no? 3 people. Imagine if you take every single bread, and you divide that into 3 pieces, right? Yes or no? Okay. So the first person, in one way, after you divide each bread into 3 pieces, how much does that come out to be? 15 pieces of bread, right? Yes or no? The second person, when you divide each of his 3 breads, it comes out to be 9 pieces of bread. All it put together, how many pieces of bread are there together? 24. 24 divided by 3 is 8. So, the first person, if you cut his bread into three pieces each, he has 9 pieces, right? Right, yes or no? So if he takes his eight, how much is he actually pitching in? Only 1. The other person, because he pitched in 5 pieces of bread, but if you divide each of them into 3, you take 8 out, his own 8, how much is he actually pitching in? 7. So the first person takes 7, the other one takes only 1. I mean, this is the law. You see how amazing these people were. I mean, when it comes to fatawa, you understand? And how they would use logic. I mean, this is algebra and everything, you know, fractions and everything into one, division into one, multiplication into one, everything. But you see, the point is, this is why, you know, subhanAllah, when you study about these kind of people, you have so much of a respect for them. That how they would do these kind of things, you understand? How they would judge between people. And not only that, but during Ali radiallahu anhu's time, there were so many other things that happened, and how, if you see his fatawa, they're just mind-boggling. I mean, they're just amazing what kind of a fatawa they came up with, and how much logic they applied, and how much of an intellect they had to come up with those opinions. Opinions that you and I, we would think that, how do they make sense? But subhanAllah, based on their intellect that Allah subhanAllah given them, this is how they would. And once again, Ali radiallahu anhu, during his time, he was, of course, during his time, the house of affairs did shift from Medina to Kufa. He was primarily in Kufa. And once again, he was, the house of affairs was in the entire umur of the Muslims. There was being disseminated from there. But once again, Ali radiallahu anhu, as a child, as a young man, he always supported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Later on, even after that, he always was with the Prophet alaihi wasallam. Even if you study the different battles, the one person who was always sent out for the most part during the Mubaraza. You know the Mubaraza? When before the battle will start, there was the one-on-one battles. He was sent often who? Ali radiallahu anhu, because he was a brave man, mashallah. So these are things that we learn regarding Ali radiallahu anhu. And inshallah, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq that he makes us like these sahaba radiallahu anhum. Each sahabi, subhanallah, this is why I say, when I say my khutbah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the companionship of the sahaba radiallahu anhum, because each sahabi, subhanallah, in their own way, was amazing and unique. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us like them. Amin rabbil alameen. Wa jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا.